Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
600 episodes coming up on you, still have the same introduction.
This is episode 599.
That's a wow.
Next episode.
Done.
Yeah. On 600, you, Todd, and I are going to be together again.
It's going to be like a party.
It's
going to be like a party.
And it's only going to be relatable.
You should come down from Canada and like hang with us across the border.
Yeah. And then have to
pay a lot of money.
Stay in a government hotel.
People have no idea. The
quarantine for 2 weeks. No, thank you.
Yeah, you actually literally have to like pay all these $1,000s to stay at this hotel to come back.
Yes.
And so no Canadians are visiting here right now.
Sorry. Okay. So I know as a Canadian, and maybe not all Canadians are like this, but I know for me, I enunciate words.
Yes, you do. Differently.
Differently. All right.
Lausanne.
One way to put it.
Lausanne. So, people had to listen to the last episode. Lausanne.
Yes. Okay. So I want to, there's a word that I heard myself saying when we started this little mini series on episode 597 that I was like, oh, you know what? Does Ed say it this way too? So I'm curious. Okay. So before I say that word, last episode 597, if you haven't listened, that's when we started our little mini series on new creative and imaginative ways of church life and church planting and all that. And last time we talked more or less on the denominations and network side and how they're planting churches. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how what are some new creative and imaginative ways church plants are evangelizing. But before we get there, it's that word, imaginative. How do you say
imaginative.
It? How do you say it? Okay. Yeah. Because when I was saying it to myself, I was like, man, I am like, imaginative. Like
imaginative.
It's just,
well, you have, so you,
how would they say it in Nashville?
Yeah, imagine, I don't know how to say it. Imaginative. I don't know. Well, that don't send letters. I'm not making fun of Southern accents. People gonna get mad at me.
We both live there.
I'm fixing to learn to speak Southern. So it's
do your daughters still speak Southern?
You know, some. So, you know, we have kind of weird accents at our house. I grew up in Long Island outside of New York City. So,
And your wife's Canadian.
My wife's Canadian. And so the kids grew up in basically Nashville, lived 10 years in Nashville. So they don't say fixin', but they do say y'all. But sort of like, it sounds like a Midwestern version of y'all. It's not, because at home, you know, my accent, I don't have like my dad talks like this. And so he call you up and he's like, hey, how you doing? And
definitely New York.
So he's very much New York, you know. And so I think for me, because I became a pastor in the South and I was licensed and ordained in Rome, Georgia, so I had a pretty strong New York accent when I was 18 or 19, youth pastor of this church. People call me a Yankee all the time.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that I sort of tried to lose the accent. And now when I speak most places, people in the South think I sound like I'm not from there, but people in New York City think I'm not from there. So it's sort of, they kind of assume people say it's a Midwestern, like a newscaster's accent, which means very little accent.
Yeah.
But you do have, I noticed that you'll pronounce words, sometimes Canadian pronunciation, which we both get, process more than process, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's that little question at the end of every sentence, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. You do that. But also, too, I wonder if it's part of your Korean heritage that there's some, I don't know, you pick up, you say some things differently than I would.
Oh, for sure. And there are some words that you say that are definitely New Yorker, right? Like, it's just like, there's some, it's the ending of some of your words.
I say Florida. So I say, they sound like a New Yorker when I say Florida. So did you grow up in a speaking Korean as a child?
Well, I grew up with my parents speaking Korean.
So you didn't as a child?
No, I didn't really start. I mean, I had to go to Korean school all the time, but I didn't really start speaking until the eighth grade.
Okay.
So 8th, 9th, 10th grade is when I basically said to my parents, I'm not going to speak to you in English anymore. I need to speak to you in Korean. Because I like this girl, this Korean girl. And honestly, I was like, you know what? How do I get the immersion experience? So.
Okay, that's super cool.
Yeah, I literally stopped speaking to them in English. I love that. I'm fluent now, and I was always fluent in reading and writing, but I didn't know what I was talking about.
So do you see any reflection of your Korean linguistic skills in your diction and your accent, or no?
Oh yeah. Okay. So this might actually be the case, because for me, I wanted to speak like a Korean. I didn't fully achieve it, but the vowels, all the consonants are all different. So in Korean, I would, like, my mom from a young age wanted me to pronounce it correctly. So the vowels, she would actually do this. And these are the vowels in Korean. Ah, ya, oh, ya, oh, yo, u, u, e. And I had to pronounce the vowels the way they were pronounced and enunciated. And I remember doing these verbal exercises with her all the time.
This is fascinating.
Ah, ya, oh, ya, oh, yo, u, u, e. And then the alphabet, like ka, na, ta, ra, ma, pa, sa, a, cha, cha, ka, ta, pa, ha. Right? Those are kind of the letters with one of the vowels, the a. And then I would go with ya, so kya, nya. So yeah, there's just a huge emphasis in and around enunciation. So I wonder if that just stuck that in my English and language.
I know a lot of people don't care, but I'm fascinated by that. Part of what I did my PhD work was in anthropology, and I love linguistics, and just fascinating. Because even when you say the word, like, English, you say the word English different than I say the word English. Say the word English.
Yeah.
English. Yeah, it's English. It's like you go down. Yeah, it's just different. English, so anyway, fun. So sorry, this is not the topic of our conversation. People are like throwing cups at their computer screens.
You know, but this is the part. This is one of the things about the New Churches podcast. We hit church planting, and we also hit random facts.
So does Todd do this, or is it just you and me on this?
No, he'll probably throw in some horse racing.
We don't believe. I'm a Christian.
Or some sort of country.
I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that stuff.
Well, he's from Kentucky, right? Yeah. So okay, one last thing. Did you know, though, on the linguistic side of things, that one of the Korean emperors? Because we used Chinese, the Koreans used Chinese characters, and there wasn't a Korean alphabet. But this one emperor was a linguist.
No.
And he decided to, as a linguist, create Korean like written alphabet and consonants and all that stuff that was native to Korea that wasn't using Chinese characters.
That's fascinating. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's why it's so easy to learn how to read Korean. Like, it's one of the easiest languages because it's all, you just sound it out versus Japanese and Chinese. I mean, you need to know, from an East Asian side of things, you need to know, like, every character is different and unique. Whereas Korean, it's an alphabet. You got vowels, you got consonants, and you just put them together.
How interesting.
All right. So, okay. So going to our actual content, and I know you have a lot to say and a lot to say with this, because, I mean, you are at the Billy Graham Center. You head the Billy Graham Center. You are the regional leader for the Lausanne, North America. So evangelism, I know, is something you live, breathe, eat. So I'm curious, because you're really on the thought leadership leading edge side of this. What are some new creative and imaginative ways you've seen churches and church plants approaching evangelism?
Yeah, so let me say first that I think one of the realities is that it has not been a great year for evangelism. And I think that's part of what we have to acknowledge. And there's always a cheerleading that we want to do. So, you know, we love the people, you know, at Alpha Online. Alpha was great. And it was, right? But it's also, we could also acknowledge that there's less of this. And so I think that, fall 2021 is going to be a great season of harvest if Christians and churches will choose to faithfully and fruitfully engage the cause of Christ. That's my hope, that we'll actually do that. What I would say is, I think part of what we ultimately have to consider is that the gospel will be communicated in different words, I mean, different ways, but always with words. And some of those that's actually taken place has been online, for example. But what I would say is the most effective, I think, form of evangelism, or maybe the growing and effective form, the one that caught my most attention in 2019 was people moving to groups. Now, that's been happening a long time. Mm. You know, again, I mentioned Alpha. Alpha's been around a long time. But it just seems that more and more people are saying, let's have a conversation with people about spiritual questions and have them have honest conversation about those questions. And, you know, the ultimate result is that that they can have a dangerous conversation in a safe place. And the end result of which is they can ask questions they have and then respond to the gospel. So I think that that's always going to be the case. So now here we are today. So I still think that's the case. I still think inviting people to an online community can be good. I think people are tired of that as well. But what I would say is still, evangelism is going to be personal evangelism, meeting somebody at a coffee shop, sharing the gospel. I think that right now, large group evangelism is a little less. Two things have suffered right now. Large group evangelism, so if you're having a crusade or something, a festival, and you know, church evangelism, bring your unchurched friends to church, because I just think if people need an excuse not to come to church, you know, and there's just one little excuse. They might go to the movies and they might go to a concert, but you know this, when you start a church, your launch day, if it rains on your launch day, man, it's like 2/3 of the people don't show up because they were just looking for one excuse not to come. They're barely interested. And then, so what I would just say is that, man, it's raining. It's raining right now, and it's probably going to be raining for another several months. So what I would say is launch day evangelism, large group evangelism, bring in all your packing a church on Easter evangelism, maybe Christmas 2021, I would guess might be an opportunity for that, and people be hungry for that. But I would say those areas have suffered and the areas that have grown online. I wish I had 10 other. I mean, this might be a short podcast after our linguistic discussion, because I don't know that there's a lot. I'm not discouraged by that reality. I think ultimately, one of the things we're doing Amplify Outreach Conference this fall is we really think this fall is going to be a season of harvest, and churches need to be ready, engaged, training people, sharing the gospel, giving opportunities for people to respond and more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's helpful. I'll tell you what I've been noticing and what we've been doing through the pandemic for my church here in Edmonton. I mean, we have a multi-pronged approach where there's obviously, I mean, we do a huge initiative in and around acts of kindness and city engagement and just mobilizing our congregation in that way. And we have an income tax clinic where, I mean, last year we helped people, what it was more than $1 million get back, just being able to provide income tax, free income tax help as an outreach for those who are in low income brackets. So we have a lot of initiatives like that for that first tier, just awareness. Engagement. I mean, I have a vision where every single person in Edmonton, when they hear church or when they talk to a Christian, that they have a positive view. Now, they don't need to think about Beulah or have that name in their head, and neither do they have to, ever come to our church. But my hope is that we, as a church, networked with other churches, can change that sense and that sentiment toward Christians and churches in Edmonton. So we have initiatives in and around that, and our groups, we have kind of these mid-sized groups that are focused to do that more within the group side of things, and we have Alpha as well. And we also do the BLESS acronym, and that's a huge part of our culture from the Ferguson brothers at Community Christian. You know, begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share your story. So there's a lot of these things that we're doing to till the ground, to sow seeds, and to just really create this culture where our congregation is taking the ownership to share the gospel and invite those they live, work, study, and play with. But you know what's interesting? For me, the release date for this episode is June 3rd. So it's been a couple weeks since I've become the lead pastor of this church, 100-year-old church, over 60 churches have been planted from the church. And it's just like such a legacy within our city. And what has been interesting, I mean, the last 2 years has really been this intentional succession process. But man, deep on my heart is just seeing the lost saved. And I'm not one of those guys where every time I preach, I extend a gospel invitation. But I'm very aware. And every time I'm preparing that message, I'm like, is this an opportunity? Is this that natural time? And every time we've done this in the last couple of years, we have just seen so many people come to know Christ and make that decision to follow Christ. And it's just been so interesting how when you have that that underground swell of, okay, how do we just create this culture of evangelism and of talking about faith? How the congregation is just more and more willing to invite and to share. And, you know, I mean, obviously God's the one who is ultimately going to change someone's heart. But when we do make that invitation, it's been neat to see and to harvest that fruit.
Nice, nice. And I would say too, one of the things that we would, good reminder, because I regrettably, as awesome as this mini series is, I don't have 15 more answers to that question. I mean, that's kind of my answers to the question. What I would say is it is a good reminder though, to call people to faith and respond by grace and through faith to the good news of the gospel. So for example, online, you still have people engaging online in some cases, right? And unchurched people probably right now are more likely to be online than in person, I think, but it's just that, I think. But I do think that that as we move into the summer, you know, people are going to reemerge, and as they reemerge, I think that the gospel being proclaimed as people check out church again is a good and important thing to do, also.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks again for listening.
Before you go, I just want to say one thing. So, H1N1 was the was the Spanish flu virus, and in
Spanish flu was H1N1,
yes. And so in 1957, H2N2 replaced it. So, if you listen to the episode where I kind of spouted off the top of my head. So it did. I was correct. I think I said 1957. I might have said 1958, but that is correct. And that sort of bumped it out and replaced 1918 H1N1 with H2N2. So there you go. So keep in mind, so Spanish flu cycled around, what is that, like 40 years?
That's
and
crazy.
That's probably what's going to, I mean, who knows, but that could be what happens here as well. So.
Huh. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode. Next episode, the one on Monday, is actually going to be Ed, Todd, and I together on episode 600. And then on 601 next week, we're going to continue this little mini series on the new. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.